This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abayim. Baruch Hashem, we still have a minion left in the five towns. So thank you, everybody, for coming. And tonight, Parshas Mishpatim, we want to thank the sponsors of tonight's shir. We thank Dr. Zakheim and Mishpachta for sponsoring all the shir on Sefer Shemois, Le Nishmas, Shalom Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov Zakheim, and Le Nishmas, her mother, Rivka Bas Tuvia, and Shem Hashem and Aliyah, B'Yemelitza Yisharim for their whole family, Adbiyas Goyal Tzedek. Also, the Shurim on Sefer of Chodesh Shavad are sponsored by the Israeli family of Great Neck, by Mr. and Mrs. David Israeli, Leila Nishmas, their father, Meir Ben David, and Shem Hashem and Aliyah, B'Gan Eden Tehimenu Chasai, B'Yemelitza Yisharim for their whole family, Adbiyas Goyal Tzedek. Tonight's Shir is sponsored by Mr. Anonymous. That's amazing. Anonymous is a very common name in Klal Yisrael. And it's sponsored Le'ilei Nishmas Rabbi Yisrael Salanter on his yard site. I'm sure Rabbi Yisrael would appreciate it. And also Le'ilei Nishmas Rabbi Mordechai Pogromansky, Shaila, the Emek Bracha. So these neshamas should be Melitz Yosher for all of Klal Yisrael. Also, tonight she's sponsored by Sroli Stegman in honor of the birth of a daughter 17 and a half hours ago, and Refuah Shleima for his wife. Mazel Tov, Tiska Legala, Tarlchov Masim Tovim, and Refuah Shleima of Sech Shachal Yisrael. Okay, right now as we speak, the new Sefer on Purim is being prepared for publication. If anybody would like to have a chelek in it, please let us know as soon as possible. Okay, Parshas Mishpatim. We have a seemingly technical pasuk. We know that Parshas Mishpatim is the parsha of torts and damages. And the pasuk says, "Kisei tzeyesh, if a fire will go out, umotza koitzim, and will catch thorns, v'nechal gadish, and consume a haystack, oy hakama, or standing grain, oy hasada, or a field, shalem yishalem hamavrasaber, the one who lit the fire has to pay." So simple enough. You light a fire, you gotta pay. What could be so complicated about lighting a fire? So let's start with the Gemara Baba Kama on Daf Samach. The Gemara tells us that Rav Ami and Rav Asi were sitting before Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. And they both, this rabbi had good goods, he had goodies, you know, good stuff to say over. So the only thing is, the two Talmidim in front of the Rebbe could not agree of what they wanted to hear Shir on. You know, there are always guys, some guys like to hear Agadita, some guys like to hear Halacha. You know, there's some people, by a Halacha Shir, they go crazy. Oh, Halacha, it's sharp, it's concise, it's stimulating, it's interesting, it's practical, it's relevant. And they go to Shir Machshava, and they're out to lunch. Like, well, what's this guy talking about? And then the other people, they love Machshava. That's what gets them going. It's interesting, it's sophisticated, it's inspiring. And Halacha is like, okay, so I just won't do anything, you know? So this I do, this I don't do. Some people are Agada people, some people are Halacha people. And one of them wanted to hear Shmaitza. Shmaitza is Halacha. And one of them wanted to hear Agada. So the Rebbe started with Agadata. The other guy, the other rabbi, he's like, no, I don't want to hear that. So the Rebbe started saying Halacha. So the other rabbi said, no, I don't want to hear that. So the Rebbe said, okay, so one, we can't hear anything. You know what it's like? It's like a guy who had two wives. One was very old, and one was very young. Now, the old wife wanted to have a more mature-looking husband. And she loved every gray hair he had. And the young one wanted to have a young-looking husband, and she didn't like his gray hair. So the young one plucked out all his gray hair. The old one plucked out all his black hair. So the time he was through with both of them, he was bald. You know, so the... That's a good one, Israel, no? So therefore... So the Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha said, by the time I'm done with the two of you, there's nothing left to teach. I have a great idea. I'm going to teach something that's conducive to both of you. So he picked this pasuk. Kisei tzeyesh umatza koitzim. Now kisei tzeyesh went out on its own. And the one who lit the fire, even though the one who lit the fire is not really responsible, he just lit a yard side candle. I mean, and it just went out on his own. He has to pay for the conflagration. Says God, I lit a fire in Sion. I lit the fire. I have to pay for the fire. Ani hitzeisiyesh betzion. I lit the fire on the Beis Hamikdash. Shenemar vayatzas eish betzion vatoichal yisoy doisehu. It consumed all the foundations. Vani osilv noisabesh. And I'm destined to build it in fire. Shenemar vani eyal choymas eish saviv. By the way, when do we say these psukim? It's part of Nachim on Tisha B'Av. Okay. Ulachavod eyah besoicha. So that was the Agadata. The Agadata is God said, I lit the fire. But technically speaking, I lit it. But who made God light it? God lit it, but it's our fault. So technically speaking, maybe God should be putter. God says, no, I lit it. The fact that you guys spread it, I have to pay. And by the way, here's the Shmaitza, here's the Halacha. It starts off talking about your monetary ownership of the fire. Kiseitzeyesh. And then we say, it's like your body damaged. Hamaviras habeira. Loimar lecha ishay misham chitzav. To tell you that what's a fire is your arrow. Now, that happens to be one of my favorite lamdasha sugyas and shas. Here it goes. We're about to speak out a sugya and shas, which is one of the most lamdasha sugyas and shas. You would think it's strictly lamdus. It is so full of agarata, this lamdasha sugya, it's unbelievable. The question is, you have a fire. Let's say the four main kinds of damages are shar, bar, mave, hever. Shar, bar, mave, and hever. Rashi Tevois, Sivma. Sivma is the last of all the Arei Hakanani mentioned in Parshas Matos. The source of all Tuma is Sivma, Shar, Bar, Mava, and Hever. And we know what a Shar is. Shar is if your ox damages, your ox gores, it eats, it steps on someone's crop, we know Shar is either Keren, Shane, Regel. So you say, oh, well, that's not relevant anymore. It's very relevant. It's probably the most relevant damage today. Most damages today are people don't know how to drive cars, right? So that's the biggest source of damage today is Shar. People go, oh, it's not relevant. Baba Kama is not relevant. Baba Kama is the most relevant. It's more relevant than Hilchos Tefillin. Hilchos Tefillin is 6 days a week. Once a day you put on Tefillin. People in the car the whole day, they're Shar Hamazik, you know? They're Shane, Regel, Keren, you know, and the many people are muad, they're not a tam anymore. You know, most. Anyway, that's shar. Bar is also very simple. Bar, let's say, bar the Shabbos. Bar is, people don't shovel their snow, it's a bar. Who makes a bar today? Most people. They don't salt their driveway, so it's a bar, fine. Mave is Adam. Adam HaMazik is the biggest mazik of all. Even if a guy's sleeping, he's a mazik. And hever. Hever is fire. Now, the question is, what exactly is fire? Fire is, Reish Lakish says fire, it's your money. It's like your ox. You lit a fire, it's your property. Rabbi Yochanan says not your property, because your property has substance to it. It's a thing, like you can't go like that through your property. Fire is not substantive. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan holds that Eish is not your money, rather, Eish is your arrow. Isha Misham Chitzav. The same way your arrow, you pull back the arrow, and then in 10 minutes it hits somebody. A putter! What do you want from me? What did I do? You went like that. That was 10 minutes ago, but the damage happened 10 minutes later. The answer is, something you set into motion is Adam HaMazik. It's you. So a fire is you. Reish Lakish says, no, a fire is not you, because an arrow is your kayach. You pull it back, so when it goes forward, it's your strength. A fire, the wind takes it. Therefore, Reish Lakish says, an arrow is not you. Rabbi Yochan says, an arrow is you. Reish Lakish says, Isha Misham Mamoinoi. Rabbi Yochan says, Isha Misham Chitzav. Your arrow is your fire is your arrow. What's the nafkamina? What's the practical difference whether your fire is your arrow or your money? Very simple. You have a dog. You unleash the dog and it bites the guy's head off. So the guy has to have plastic surgery to sew his head back on. Fine. So you have to cover the surgery. But what about the guy's... You have to fix the guy up. What about Now he's out of work. Okay, too bad. It's not my problem. I paid for damages. It was very embarrassing for him to walk around with a head on. Okay, that's not my problem. I don't have to pay his doctor bills. I don't have to pay his embarrassment. It was very painful for him to be without a head. It caused him a lot of tsar when he had dog bite marks on his neck. Okay, feel very bad for him, but you don't have to pay for it. Now, look, is when your money, I'm sorry if this year is getting too graphic, but if your money causes damage, you just pay nezek. But when you damage, you have to pay five payments. You have to pay damage, you have to pay loss of work, you got to pay doctor bills, you got to pay pain, and you have to pay embarrassment. So if your fire is your arrow, so it's you got to make five payments. If it's your money, you only have to make one payment. That's the nafka mina between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Fine. Here's a million-dollar question. There's a great rabbi. His name was Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. He had two talmidim. One said, teach me agadata. One said, teach me shmaitza. So he says, I'll do both. And he seemed to have taught two completely random halachas that have nothing to do with each other. So how did he satisfy both of them? Again, he didn't satisfy anyone. The first, when he talked about the fact that God is responsible for paying for Yushalayim, so the Amoira who wanted to hear halacha should have said, what are you talking about? And when he said Isha Misham Chitzav, the Amoira who wanted to hear Agadata should have said, what are you talking about? But clearly, if he's saying, I'm going to satisfy both of you, that means these two teachings are one teaching. The fact that Hashem, who burnt down the Beis HaMikdash, has to pay for it, and Yishai Mishum Chitzav, it must be that's one halacha. Otherwise, he wouldn't be satisfying both of these Amoraim. But that's the question of the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer wants to know, clearly, if Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha is saying, okay, I'll teach both of you something, he's teaching Agadata and Halacha that are both interrelated, interconnected. So how does the fact that God is going to pay and rebuild Yushalayim, what does it have to do with Ishai Misham Chitzav? So Chassam Sofer says as follows, and tonight we're going to be focusing on Rabbi Yochanan's worldview in Shas. And we're going to see how many of the things Rabbi Yochanan said in Shas, many of his famous shitas, it's one shita. We're going to try at least. Chassam Sofer says like this. If you look in the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara in Brachos says there are three psukim that if not for these three psukim, the Jewish people would have no standing. And one of the psukim are Harayosi. God said, you sinned? Nah, I caused you to sin. I caused you to sin. So, Shkoyach, Ribbono Shel Olam, we appreciate your acknowledgement that we're not the ones sinning, that you're the one who caused us to sin. How so? So the Chassam Sofer says like this. We know God gave us the Yetzer Hara. Yeah? God gave us the Yetzer Hara. So if we sin, it should be God's fault. The thing is, it's not. Because God also says, I gave you Yetzer Hara and I gave you the medication. What's the medication? The Torah. Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. The Medrash says it's analogous to a father who smacks his son. And the father says, just keep the bandage on. If you keep the bandage on, you'll heal. You don't keep the bandage on, you're going to get an infection. So God says, look, I smacked you. I gave you a Yetzer Hara, but I gave you a bandage. That's a Torah. You learn Torah, you're good to go. You don't learn Torah, you're in big trouble. So if we sin, it should be our fault, not God's fault. We have Torah. The thing is that when Klal Yisrael received the Torah, they overcame the Yetzer Hara, but then we sinned with the Egal. And the Yetzer Hara came back to us to some extent. And we still have to deal with the Yetzer Hara. Now, who put that original fire in us? God. But who welcomes the Yetzer Hara into our lives and embraces him and gives him a nice room in our house to stay in, and allows him to move in permanently without paying rent, and made him feel very comfortable in our house? We did. So God started the fire, and we've been fanning it our entire lives. But who's responsible ultimately? Well, it depends. According to Reish Lakish, okay, it's something that we have to guard, but it's not like it's God's fault. It's not like God is actively making us sin. But listen carefully. Rabbi Yochanan's shita is that if a person starts a fire and it catches to a bush and it catches to a haystack and it catches to a house and it burns down 50 houses, every moment the fire is burning, it's like you're going, psh, psh, you're actively burning the fire. That's the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Isha misham chitzav. And therefore, God says, you know why I'm going to rebuild Yerushalayim? Because I started the fire. And even though you fanned it and you poured gasoline on it and you poured kerosene on it and you sprayed it with all kinds of lighter fluid, but I started it and I'm responsible. You know why I'm responsible? Because we hold like Rabbi Yochanan, Ishay Misham Chitzav. Okay? That is the approach of the Chassam Sofer to this Gemara. I believe the Munkacher in the Sefer Shar Yisaschar, he says the same idea. But this is the approach of the Chassam Sofer. Let's go to another statement of Rabbi Yochanan. You ready for this? The Gemara in Chagiga Daf Hei, number 8. And we're trying to explain a pasuk in Va'era, look at number 7. V'gam ani shamati Esna kas b'nei Yisrael, and I will also hear, I have also heard, the outcry of b'nei Yisrael, Asher Mitzrayim, avidim oysam, that the Egyptians enslaved them, va'ezkar as brisi, and I remembered my covenant. What does this pasuk mean? It says, Gemara in Chagiga, Rabbi Yochanan, when he got to the following pasuk, he cried. There's a pasuk at the end of Devarim, and it will be that it will befall you many evils and tragedies. What? Look at this pasuk. V'haya ki simtsena oisoi rois rabbis v'tzoris. And it will befall you many tragedies. It doesn't say that God will bring the tragedy on you. It's almost like God's going to hide from you and then memela the tragedy will strike. So Rabbi Yochanan cried when he got to this pasuk. A servant that his master brings upon him evils and tragedies, he's doomed. Right? Does a servant who his master is going to bring upon him any tragedy have any takana? Rabbi Yochanan cried whenever he got to this pasuk. Question. How about Rav? What did Rav do when he got to this pasuk? I don't know. He seemed to have been, Rav was good with this pasuk. He didn't have any problems when he got to this pasuk. What about Ravina? What about Ravashi? What about all the other Amorim? Why dafka did Rabbi Yochanan cry when he got to this pasuk? What about Rabbi Yochanan elicit a cry when he got to the pasuk, V'haya ki simtsena oisoi rois rabbis v'tzareis. Marv Rabbis, so listen very carefully. We know that there's an unfortunate phenomenon in life that people experience Yisurim. Now, Yisurim could be very mild. The Gemara in Erechin says, Hechidami Yisurim, you put your hand in your pocket to pull out a quarter, and you pull out a nickel, that's Yisurim, it's also Mechaper. Any difficulty, any setback is Yisurim. Are Yisurim mechaper your averos? So Gemara has a discussion. Well, if they're Yisurim of Ahava, then they're the mechaper your averos. What's Yisurim of Ahava? The Gemara says, if it doesn't cause you to miss shir, if it doesn't cause you to miss learning, then it's mechaper. If it causes you to miss learning, it's not mechaper. Then the Gemara brings a different opinion. If it causes you to miss tefillah, it's not mechaper, only if it doesn't cause you to miss davening. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, all Yisurim is mechaper. Shenemar, Ashrei hagever asher tiasrenu ka, umitayroscha salamdenu. Rabbi Yochanan says, don't read it salamdenu, ela salamadenu, that God in the Torah teaches us Yisurim is mechaper. From where do we learn Yisurim is mechaper? From an Eved Kanani. Anybody here have an Eved Kanani? Chasu, if you did, then we would take down your statue or something like that. But, does anyone have Eved Kanani? No. If you had an Eved Kanani, and we knocked, and your mass, and you knocked out the tooth of the Eved Kanani, he would go free. Or if you knocked out his eye, he would go free. Shein v'ayin. So Rabbi Yochanan makes the Kavach Haimer. If someone who knocks out the tooth or the eye of an Eved Kanani, the Eved Kanani goes free, even though the tooth or the eye is only one part of the body, Yisurim, which is painful in your whole body, it expunges all your sins. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, we learn out, Yisurim is mechaper from Shein V'ayin. Says the Gemara, oh, that's what Reish Lakish means. Reish Lakish says, it says bris by salt, and it says bris by Yisurim. Just like salt sweetens the basar, Yisurim cleanses you from sin. Now listen carefully. Rabbi Yochanan learns it from a Kal V'Chomer of Shein V'Ayin, right? Rabbi Yochanan learns it from a Kal V'Chomer from knocking out the tooth or the eye of your slave. And Reish Lakish learns it out from a Gzeira Shava from Bris Bris. What difference does it make whether you make a Kal V'Chomer or a Gzeira Shava? It's a very big difference. What would the halacha be if the Yisurim were not God sent? God didn't send the Yisurim. God hid himself and allowed the Yisurim to befall the person. Would that be Mechaper? So then it depends where we learn Yisurim out from. If we learn it out from Shein V'Ayin, only if the master punches the Eved in the face and knocks out his tooth or his eye, does the Eved go free. But if the master, Al Yedei Grama, knocks out the tooth or eye, then the Eved doesn't go free. So if the Eved doesn't go free Al Yedei Grama, then if a person got Yisurim Al Yedei Grama, meaning God backed away, he hid himself, and a person because of that suffered, then there wouldn't be Mechaper. Reb Yochanan L'shitasei, whenever he got to the Pasuk, that God will hide himself and you'll experience Yisurim, Reb Yochanan cried. Because according to Reb Yochanan, if a person experiences Yisurim through Hester Panim, they're not Mechaper. Because the whole source of Yisurim is a Kal V'Chomer from Shein V'Ayin. But Shein V'Ayin is only brings you L'cheiros if you do it intentionally, not if it just happens Ayidei Grama. But according to Reish Lakish, Yisurim is always Mechaper. Because what's the source of Yisurim according to Reish Lakish? Salt. Salt, whether the person throws the salt intentionally on the meat, or he throws it behind his back and he thought he was throwing it in the garbage and it landed on the meat. Salt on meat sweetens. So Yisurim is Mechaper regardless of how the person experienced Yisurim. So when Reish Lakish got to the Pasuk that there's a phenomenon of Hester Panim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu could allow Yisurim to occur even though doesn't visit them on the person, Reish Lakish was cool with that. Why? Because according to Reish Lakish, Yisurim is always Mechaper. But according to Reb Yochanan, Yisurim is only Mechaper if HaKadosh Baruch Hu intentionally places them on the person. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan cried when he got to the Pasuk that there is a phenomenon that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will withdraw himself and allow Yisurim to occur. Now, what? How would you know the difference? Rabbi Yonah Sinai Bishitz in the Yaros Tavash says the way to know the difference is if it's just a natural kind of difficulty, like the regular vicissitudes of life, that could be God is being master panav and allowing the course of nature to take effect. That is not Hashem visiting, that's just Hashem allowing. But when something unusual happens, where it's clearly the hand of God, where this is not a natural thing, then you know it's God visited. But I don't think we ever really know for sure. Okay, this is from Rav Shamshin from Ashtapoli. Okay, this idea. Now, the Imre Noyam of Jacob, he says something incredible. That means there are two sources of Yisurim. There's Kal V'Chomer, and there's Gzeira Shava. Kal V'Chomer from Shein V'Ayin, Gzeira Shava of Bris Bris. Now, we learned many times, the 13 Midoy Shatoyra Nidreshes Bohem correspond to Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Kale, which is the first of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, according to that Rizal, Hashem is sort of the headings. Hashem, Kale. Kale is what? Kal V'Chomer. Rachum is Gzeira Shava. So the Imre Noyam of Jacob says that's what it means, Veschanan. Ki Kale Rachum Hashem Aleikecha. God is not just Kale, where he uses Kal V'Chomer to make it that only if intentional Yisurim is Mechaper. He's also Rachum, that he accepts Gzeira Shava, and he accepts Reish Lakish's form of Yisurim. That's the number 20. Now back to, one second, Rav Shamshon Shapoli. That's the Pshat in the Pasuk in Va'era. Look at number 7. V'gam ani shamati es na'akas b'nei Yisrael. God says, I hear the outcry of the Bnei Yisrael. The problem is, Asher Mitzrayim Avidim Oysam. The Egyptians are hurting them, not me. So if Egyptians are hurting them, it's not going to be Mechaper. So you know what God says? Don't worry. Va'ezkar Brisi. I remember the bris of salt that Yisroel is Mechaper, whether it's me or the Egyptians. Okay. That's the Jewish part. Now you gotta, this is Oyem Venoira, a little lumdus. This is unbelievable. You ready? You with me? Okay. Ishay Misham Chitzav. Your fire is your arrow, which means you lit a fire and it's burning over there, but it's like I'm actively burning it. Every second it's burning, it's like I'm actively burning. Ask the Nemuke Yosef. You ever hear of this Jewish custom that people light candles before Shabbos? Jews from time immemorial lit candles before Shabbos. Hadlakas ner Shabbos. Yeah? Or Jews from time immemorial eat food on Shabbos. How do they do that? They turn on the oven before Shabbos. You ever hear of such a phenomenon? You turn on the oven. That means the oven was turned on before, but it's actively burning on Shabbos. Now, then, according to Rabbi Yochanan, every moment fire is burning, it's not your ox that's going out, it's you actively burning it. Ask the Nemuke Yosef, how in the world are you allowed to light Shabbos candles? When it's burning at 9:30 p.m., you're actively causing the fire to burn. You're Mechalel Shabbos. Certainly, when you light a fire, you don't even want it to spread. And even though you don't want it to spread, it's considered like you're actively spreading it. You're actively burning it. Certainly, when you light the Shabbos candles or you light your oven, you want it to be burning on Shabbos. So how could you light the Shabbos candles before Shabbos? That's your Maisa on Shabbos. That's the Nemuke Yosef's famous question. You ever hear that question? The Stipler has an answer to that. That's the famous Kasha Nemuke Yosef Baba Kama. It's worth it to come down to Olam Hazeh just to hear the question of the Nemuke Yosef. You got the question? Answers the Nemuke Yosef when we say Ishay Misham Chitzav. It doesn't mean that at the time the fire is burning, it's like I'm actively burning the fire, but rather all future repercussions of the fire are latent in the original act of lighting the fire, and it traces back to the original ignition. So all future burning of the fire is latent in the igniting the fire, but that happened to Erev Shabbos, so you're good to go. You're right, the burning of fire is your active maisa, but it's latent in the ignition of the fire, it's rooted in the original maisa, and the original maisa happened on Friday, so you're good to go. It's not like every moment that it's burning, I'm doing it. It's like my original act entailed in it all future burning. That's the Nemuke Yosef. Got it? This is now where you're going to hear the question of the century. Comes the Avnei Nezer. Geshmak Akasha. Yeah? You're going to be licking your chops for at least 24 hours. The Gemara and Tainus wants to know, what happened when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Did it happen on the 7th, the 9th, the 10th? You can't say the 7th because the Navi says the 10th. Can't say the 10th because the Navi says the 7th. So the Gemara says, let me tell you what happened. They entered on the 7th. They ate. They partied. They reacted debased on the 7th and on the 8th. And on the 9th, all the way at the end, our Tisha B'Av is a shtickle backwards. You know, the night of Tisha B'Av, when we're going to Shul, what happened? Historically, nothing. And in the morning, when we're sitting on the floor crying, what happened historically? Nothing. And then we get off the floor at the end of the day, what happened? That's when they burnt down the Beis HaMikdash. So they set fire at the end of the day, when we're getting up. They set fire, and it burnt on the end of the 9th and the whole 10th. Rabbi Yochanan says, well, wait a second. So we got this whole Tisha B'Av wrong. If I were around, Ilmale Yisiv Oisei Adar, number 12, 2 lines to the bottom, Loi Kavat Vela Basiri, I would have made Tisha B'Av on the 10th. Why? Mibnei Sharuba Shel Heichal Boi Nisraf. The majority of the Heichal was burned down on the 10th. So what do the rabbis hold? The beginning is the worst. What's going on over here? Rabbi Yochanan of all people if he was there, he would have established Tisha B'Av on the 10th, because the majority burnt down on the 10th. But Rabbi Yochanan holds Isha Misham Chitzav. That means whenever a fire is burning, it's actively burning. And you're doing it. Now, Bishlama, if we would have said, like the Nemuke Yosef thought, that every moment the fire is burning, it's like I'm actively burning it. So the majority was actively burnt on the 10th. The only thing is, the Nemuke Yosef says that all future active burning is latent in the original ignition. So the original ignition happened on the 9th. The same way you're allowed to light candles Friday night, should have explained to Rabbi Yochanan, who l'shitase holds Isha Misham Chitzav, that Tisha B'Av is correctly established on the 9th of Av. What's Rabbi Yochanan talking about? If he was around, he would have established it on the 10th, but Rabbi Yochanan holds Isha Misham Chitzav. Especially the way we explained it according to the Muke Yosef, that all future burning is latent in the
ignition.
That's a good word. That's the kasha of the Avnei Nezer. Nu, Geshmaka kasha. Comes the Har Tzvi, and the Har Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, and he says that people misunderstand the Nemuke Yosef. He doesn't ask this question we just asked. He asks a different interesting question. Anyone here ever makriv a karban mincha? Just checking. Halacha is, if you want to eat the mincha, if the kaihanim want to eat the mincha, you have to have the koimetz, the kmitza has to be burnt. Once you burn the kmitza, the shirayim is mutter ba'achila. At what point of time is it considered the koimetz, right? You know the koimetz, Azriel. The kohen goes, he takes the fistful, he goes, you know, and this is the koimetz. And when that fistful is burnt, the rest of the mincha could be eaten. When is the koimetz considered burnt? When mishayoyches ha'or beruba, when the fire takes hold of the majority. Ask the Har Tzvi, why do you have to wait until the fire takes hold of the majority? According to Rabbi Yochanan, Isha Misham Chitzav, as soon as you ignite it, all future burning is latent in the original act of ignition, so it's considered, it should be considered completely burnt from the beginning. Why do you have to wait until Mishayoches Ha'ar Bekula? Why don't you just say, Isha Misham Chitzav, all future burning is latent in the original act of ignition. So the Har Tzvi says, it's a mistake to think that what the Nemuke Yosef means that all future burning already took place. No, nobody said future burning already took place. It just means all liability has been incurred from the original act of ignition. Doesn't mean it's already halachically burnt. Oh, you think it tastes raw? No, it's already barbecued. No, it's not already barbecued. It's all hischaivos, and all responsibility has already been incurred. So therefore, you could light the Shabbos candles on Friday because all of my responsibility for this act has already been incurred upon me. I've already accepted and taken responsibility for all repercussions. It didn't burn yet. So the Avnei Nezer said as follows regarding Tisha B'Av. When the question is, when we're being done, when the issue is the act, the pu'ula, for example, on Shabbos we want to know, did the person violate Shabbos in action? So when did the act of burning take place? The whole act, the pu'ula took place Erev Shabbos. But why do we fast on Tisha B'Av? Because of an act? Or because of the result? We fast because of result. So the result happened on the 10th. Nobody says, like the Har Tzvi said, nobody says the result happened on the 9th. The result happened on the 10th. So when the issue at hand is, when should we mourn a result? We should mourn a result when the result happened, which is the 10th. That's why Rabbi Yochanan says, if I would have been around, I would have established Tisha B'Av on the 10th. Tisha B'Av is a day of mourning for a result. But in terms of liability for damage, liability was incurred from the act of ignition. Liability for Shabbos, I'm responsible from the act of ignition. Okay, so far so good. Another statement of Rabbi Yochanan. This is beautiful. There's a man by the name of Rabbi Yochanan. And they told Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, you know, they're old people in Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan lived where? In Eretz Yisrael. He put together Talmud Yerushalmi. Rabbi Yochanan was one of the first Amoraim. In fact, the Ramban says the same way we say Rav Tanahu Palag, you could say Rabbi Yochanan Tanahu Palag. It's interesting. The Amoraim are all Rav. The Tanoim are Rebbe. It's Rebbe Yochanan, not Rav Yochanan. You know that? It's Rebbe Yochanan. It's Rav Ashi. It's Rav Huna. It's Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe Tarfain. And it's Rebbe Yochanan. So even though he's the first Amora, you're allowed to say Tanu Palag. He was a Talmud of Rebbe. He was one of the youngest Talmudim of Rebbe. I think he was a young boy as a Talmud of Rebbe. So he didn't fully consider himself a Talmud of Rebbe. He was a Talmud of the Talmudim of Rebbe, but he did learn from Rebbe. And they told Rabbi Yochanan, you know, they're old people in Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan said, impossible. It says, L'man yirbu yimecha malo adama. You can only live long in Israel. So they said, no, Rabbi Yochanan, in Bavel, they come early to shul, and they stay late. So Rabbi Yochanan said, oh, now I understand why they live long, because they come early and they stay late. So all the Achroinim ask, okay, but it says you can only live long in Israel. So very nice they come to shul. Let's say they would have told Rabbi Yochanan, they blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah 5,000 times. That's very nice, but that doesn't explain why they live long. You can only live long in Israel. So what good does it do that they come early to shul and they stay late? So Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung, he's one of the all-time great Bekiyim. I remember the old Bam knew him very well. Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung would say, you know, there's a machlokes in the Gemara. Who's greater, Sinai or Eiker Harim? A guy who has a lot of Bekiyas or a guy who's very sharp? He doesn't, you know, like Rav Chaim Brisker held, no, if you know one blad in Shas, you know the whole Shas. The Netziv held, if you know the whole Shas, you know one blad in Shas. What's better, to be a Baki or to be a Charef? So the Gemara says, Sinai Adif, it's better to be sharp than to be wide-ranging knowledge. So they asked for Pinchas Hirschsprung the following question, that if Oikar Harim is better than Sinai, so let the Oikar Harim, the sharp guy, come and be Oikar Sinai. Let him uproot Sinai. So he said, yeah, he would be able to. The thing is, he doesn't know where he is. He can't find him. He only knows, you know. But Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung said, the pshat in Rabbi Yochanan is, Rabbi Yochanan throughout Shas always says, you look at the end. You look what's going to be in the end. And the Gemara says in Megillah that all the shuls are going to be transplanted to Eretz Yisrael. So the shuls have the status of Eretz Yisrael in the world view of Rabbi Yochanan, who always says, look what's going to be, project what's going to be in the end. I would add, but this only works out in the world of the Nemuke Yosef, where we could project what's going to be in the end, but it's all latent right now in the beginning. Otherwise, who cares what's going to be in the end? Very nice, we project what's going to be in the end. But we need the heir of Eretz Yisrael in the place right now. Otherwise, how's the guy going to live long? The only way the guy's going to live long is Rabbi Yochanan Lashitase, the way the Nemuke Yosef explains him, that we project what's going to be in the end and we say whatever's going to be in the end is latent right here in the beginning. Okay, two more things. The Marsham, the Rav Shalom Mordechai of Barjan, one of the Gedolei HaPoskim of the 19th century, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu a matbea of esh, a coin of fire. Right? And Moshe Rabbeinu he was neskasha in the Machzis HaShekel. So Hashem said, don't worry, the Jews will be able to pull out of the Chet HaEgel. And he showed him a matbea shalesh. And the way the Marsham explains it is that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking God, I don't understand. You tell the Jews to try their best, and you'll give them siyata d'shmaya. So they'll put their best foot forward, and habola taher messiah noisai, you'll help them. They'll start the fire, and you'll help them along. But at the end of the day, you did everything. Why are the Jews accredited for what they accomplish? So the Marsham says, if Ishai Mishum Chitzav, then even though God helped us most of the way there, but if you start the fire, in other words, any time we put our best foot forward and we take the first step and we make some small efforts in Avodas Hashem, then the principle of Isha Misham Chitzav says, even though God takes us away the rest of the way there, but we started it, we are accredited with the full Maisa. Okay. Next, Rabbi Yochanan. This is the most famous machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish and Shas. So on Yom Kippur, you got to fast. And how much are you now to eat? Kikoyseves hagas, a big fig, yeah? A big date. Kikoyseves hagasa. Or let's say chilev. You're not eating chilev. How much you're not to eat? Kazayas. Let's eat a chatzi, a half a kazayas. Are you allowed to? You see a guy, he's in McDonald's. What are you doing here? Are you out of your mind? And he's sitting there with a schnapps glaze. So what are you doing? I'm eating shirim. I'm eating shirim. He's eating less than a kazayas. I hold like Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish holds chatzi shir mutter minat Torah. He says, it's awesome. We say it's awesome in Rabbanan. I don't listen to the Rabbanan. So he's eating. It's chatzi shir asur minat Torah, mutter minat Torah. Famous machlokes is Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says asur minat Torah. You're not going to get malchus, but it's an isur d'oraisa. And Reish Lakish says, no, it's mutter minat Torah. Rabbi Yochanan holds it's asur because Rabbi Yochanan holds another shita. Chazil it's tarufe. Because if you eat a chatzi chazayas now and then in 10 minutes eat another one, it will be mitzarif to a chazayas. Reish Lakish says, no, it won't join up. So chatzi shir is mutter and it's not chazil it's tarufe. So, of all, the Satmar Rebbe, Rabbi Aaron Teitelbaum, he says that it's Rabbi Yochanan l'shitase. Listen to this. It's a Geshmak alumnus. He says, first of all, he says, I used to explain that Rabbi Yochanan holds Chatzi Shir Aser Minat Torah because the Chatzi Shir has Chashivos. So if it has Chashivos, then that will pull you. In other words, everybody agrees Avera Geres Avera. So if you hold Chatzi Shir's Aser, that means Chatzi Shir is a Dabar Chashiv, and it will be draw you to do another one, another half a shir. So it's chazil it's tarufe, because if the first shir is a davar chashuv, and it's then you did an avera, it's going to draw you to do another avera, and therefore it's going to be mitztaref. But according to Reish Lakish, chatzi shir is mutter. So the first chatzi shir, you didn't do anything wrong. So you didn't do anything wrong. It's not going to be draw you to do anything more because you didn't do anything wrong in the first place. So it's not chazil it's tarufe. But then he says that we could say much better. You ready for this? Rabbi Yochanan holds Chatzi Shir is Aser Minat Torah. Why? Reish Lakish says Chatzi Shir is Mutter Minat Torah. You know why Rabbi Yochanan holds Chatzi Shir Aser Minat Torah? Because Rabbi Yochanan says, listen here. What's going to happen? I always look what's going to be in the future. Ishay Misham Chitzav. Right now you only had a half a shir. But it's going to be Megarer another half a shir. So you say, okay, who cares if it will be, but right now you didn't do it yet. No, but Rabbi Yochanan l'shitase says, we're going to project what will be in the future, and it's latent in the original act. So therefore, even though right now you only had chatzi shir, but the reason why we say chazil et starufe is because what you're going to do is are projected and entailed and latent in the original act. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan holds chatzi shir asur minat Torah. Reish Lakish says we're not such prophets. We don't look into the future. So right now, I only had chatzi shir, and the fact what I'm going to do in the future is not projected and latent in the original act. Never chatzi shir mutter minat Torah. One last thing. So my friend Rabbi Isaac gave me a very nice sefer on Gilgulim, and by the way, I'm going to use it Ashal Shudas this week. So I was thinking, this is all about Rabbi Yochanan. I have to see who's Rabbi Yochanan. So, who's Rabbi Yochanan? We know Rabbi Yochanan had 10 sons, and they all died. Rabbi Yochanan used to hang out in front of the mikvah of Nashim. why Rabbi Yochanan was exceptionally handsome. And the woman would see him, and then she would conceive Anoshim Yofim Kamoi Rabbi Yochanan. There's an idea that what's pictured in the mind before husband and wife are mekayim the mitzvah affects the outcome of the child. So they asked Rabbi Yochanan, "You're not afraid of ayin hara?" He said, "No, I know mizar di Yosef kasi, and I come from Joseph. Joseph is above the ayin hara. I mean, everyone comes from Yosef. How did Rabbi Yochanan come from Yosef? In fact, he was from Shevet Yosef." The Seder Hadoros brings Rabbi Yochanan was the Gogol of Yosef HaTzadik. And that explains he was very handsome. And that his 10 sons who died, you could just imagine what we could do with that. And that this is the topic in and of itself, throughout Shas. Okay? This is a topic in and of itself. But one thing we know about Yosef HaTzadik. The brothers are, when Yosef says, "Ani Yosef, oid avichai," so the brothers are like, we're in big trouble. Because we sold him. We ruined his life. We took it. Yeah, but now he's the king. Who cares now he's the king? Who cares what the end is? And what does Yosef say? Yosef says, look what happened. So it comes out, since this is what the end of the matter was, when you originally sold me, it wasn't an act of ruining my life. You were sending me down to Egypt to become the king, to be able to pave the way for our whole family to survive Mitzrayim. If I would be a Reish Lakishnik, I'd cut off your head. Because who cares what the end of the matter is? Since when does the end of the matter affect how something started? But Yosef HaTzadik was able to say, and this is the chiddush of Yosef HaTzadik, that the fact that lo yatem shalamein ki lemichya shalachamin ki lemichya, but he had to sit in a bar with snakes and scorpions, and he was accused, and he was in a jail until he got to the end. It was a long process, but maybe Rabbi Yochanan is following his origins of Yosef HaTzadik, that when we see the end of something, that sort of defines what happened mitchilase. That is the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan could say, "I understand why there are old people in Bavel. Because since the shul will ultimately be in Eretz Yisrael, it's like in Eretz Yisrael now. And I understand why you could light the candles on Friday afternoon. Because everything that's going to burn on Shabbos, it already happened in terms of responsibility on Erev Shabbos." The Gil of Reish Lakish, Yishmael. That's a... So this is the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. This is Rabbi Yochanan in Baba Kama Daf Chaf Beis. This is Rabbi Yochanan in Masechta Brachos and Daf Chaf. This is Rabbi Yochanan in Masechta Yuma. By the way, the Shagas Aryeh says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Chatzi Sher Asur Min HaTorah, Chatzi Mitzvah is also Asuchos. If you do a little bit of a mitzvah, let's say the mitzvah, let's say you eat half a kezias, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, but it's chatzi shir is something somewhat of a mitzvah. So it's always interesting to see how the shitos of the various amaram are connected throughout Shas. I once heard, why would you make something l'shitase? What's the advantage of making something l'shitase? So I once heard from Rav Aaron Lapiansky. He once came to our yeshiva, I don't know, about 20 years ago. And when was Rav Nosson Tzvi Nifter? No, not 20 years ago. But he was maspid Rav Nosson Tzvi in our yeshiva. He said, in the Mir yeshiva, their mahalach is that if you have like 5 machlokes in Rashi and Tosfos, they try to say, all the Rashis are l'shitase, all the Tosfos are... What's the purpose of doing that? The idea is that why should you say Rashi and Tosfos fought about 5 things? Why should you be marbe b'machlokes? They had one point of disagreement, and all these other machlokes sort of follow that line. So there is such a concept that the shitos of the Amoraim, what they say in one place is sometimes or often connected to what they say elsewhere, and this is a little bit of a glimpse of the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Wishing everyone a wonderful night.
Shkayach.
Next week, Be'ez Hashem, Shir is going to be Tuesday night.
Okay?
Next week, Tuesday night.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.